My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we have the gathering of the whole Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I'd like to begin by greeting my brother bishops, my auxiliary bishops, active and retired, and the Bishop Emeritus of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Bishop Martino. It's wonderful to be here celebrating with you as we remember Jesus' love in the mystery of the Church. And it's always a joy to be co-workers in the vineyard of the Lord with you, and I'm grateful for your presence today. For those of us who haven't been at a Chrism Mass in Philadelphia before, I think the most astounding part of the celebration is probably the number of priests who are here. And I'd like to greet my brother priests, who are my first line of support in the service of the gospel in our wonderful archdiocese. I thank each one of you for being here today. But most of all, I thank you for being priests in the service of the people in your parishes, your schools, and the other places where the gospel is proclaimed in the archdiocese. The people of the archdiocese love you. The people of the archdiocese love you, as is obvious from that applause, and so do I. And I pray that the Lord will draw us closer to one another, not only in this Eucharist, but also in our work together in the service of the Lord Jesus. I also greet the deacons who are present with us today. Tonight we celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. In some ways, that is the moment of the establishment of the diaconate, because Jesus tells us that those who he calls as ministers in the church are present in their ministry as those who serve. And I thank the deacons for modeling that spirit of service and love to all of us who are priests and to the laity. So thank you for your presence here today. I also greet my fellow religious who are here in great numbers, the sisters and brothers, and religious order priests who are part of the life of the archdiocese. We thank you for two things. We thank you for your work alongside the priests and deacons of the archdiocese itself, but even more than that, we thank you for the witness of your lives, because the whole purpose of religious consecration is to be a reminder in the very heart of the church of the call to holiness that we are all expected to follow in response to our baptism. So sisters, thank you so very much. Brothers, we thank you for your love and service in the church. I greet the seminarians of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia who are with us today. Yesterday, we had a funeral at the seminary of one of the seminarians who died. He had cancer, and he died young. And it's a reminder to them, to the seminarians, but also to all of us, that the most important thing in life isn't our career or the future work that God has in store for us. It's about how we live our lives now in response to the graces of our baptism. We remember Jose Serrano at our Mass today, and we ask God to give him the gift of eternal life, but we also ask the Lord to bless his family and console them and teach us through his life and his death how to be better Christians. Most importantly, I greet the laity who are here. And the reason I say most importantly is because you are the reason for the church. You know, those of us who are here as your servants, the priests, deacons, and bishops, those who are here as models of Christian life for you, the religious, all have our purpose oriented towards the service of the people of God. I'm grateful for the many young people who are present today who probably never been at one of these celebrations before. All of us in the church are called to a glorious life because of the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Today's celebration is referred to by others in a popular way as the Mass of the Oils, because we will be blessing the sacred chrism and the oil of the sick and the oil of the catechumens during our liturgy today. The word Messiah, which is given by the Church to Jesus alone, literally means one who is marked by oil. When it was translated into Latin by the early church, the word Messiah was translated as Christ. And since the arrival of the church in Antioch so many centuries ago, the disciples of Jesus have been called Christians, all of which means that those of us who are Christians are literally designated as those who are marked by oil. Of course, Jesus is the true Messiah, the Savior of the world. But he shares his anointing with each of us in the sacramental life of the church. All of us here were anointed at our baptism. Most of us here have been anointed by the sacrament of confirmation. Those who serve you as priests and bishops have had their hands anointed with the sacred chrism. And those of us who are bishops, our whole body was anointed at the day of our ordination as bishops. So we all share in the unity of Christ Jesus in his priesthood through the oils that will be blessed today. And so today is a celebration of the unity of all of us in the life of the church. And it's an occasion for all of us to meet one another as we do today in this beautiful liturgy, and to love one another, and to appreciate one another, and to know that each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the wisest to the least educated, each and every one of us has been called by Jesus through our baptism to be his priests and his servants in the world. And I ask all of you to love and respect all the members of our church community and to respect their vocation, because their vocation is given to them by God. Jesus, by his life, death, and resurrection, has made it possible for us to share in the life and in the saving actions of God. We believe that the sacramental life of the church, which flows from the moment when Jesus' heart was pierced by the lance when he hung on the cross and water and blood flowed forth, from that moment on, we've been invited by God to share in God's own life, in the life of the Holy Trinity. And the oil marks us as having been chosen by God for the sharing in that life. With Jesus and through him, we have been united, we have been rather anointed by the Holy Spirit. And as we heard from the book of the prophet Isaiah this morning, we have been named priests of the Lord and ministers of God. In the book of Revelation, we heard that he who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood has made us into a kingdom, priests for God, for his God and Father. And because of this, we say along with the author of the book of Revelations, to him, to God, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to do two things in my reflections today. I'd like to talk about the church and then talk about the priesthood, the ordained priesthood of my brother priests. First of all, about the church. Jesus has called all of us through our baptism to be his body, to be his presence in the world, to be the church. Pope Francis has spoken a great deal about the church in these early days of his papacy. And he has warned us more than one time about the danger of the church becoming what he refers to, the danger of becoming a worldly church, by which he means a church that is self-focused, concerned about itself, about its problems, about its image, about itself. To use his words, he has said, when the church does not come out from itself to evangelize, it becomes self-referential and gets sick. There are two images of the church. The evangelizing church that goes out from itself, that devoutly hears the word of God and faithfully proclaims it, or the worldly church that lives in itself, of itself, and for itself. One of the things that I've thought about since hearing those words of our Holy Father is that the Church of Philadelphia, with our many problems of the past several years, has the danger of becoming a self-referential church. Perhaps even in the days when our church was stronger and we sensed ourselves as being powerful, there was a danger that we became a self-referential church. Perhaps the humiliation that we've experienced over the last several years has been, in some sense, a way that God has called us out of that worldly church to be a humbler church that can once again become an evangelizing church. There has to be some grace in that, from that humiliation and from that pain. A grace that calls us to holiness, and a grace that calls us to renewal. So we ask the Lord Jesus to help us both know the church and to love the church, and especially to be the church in the way that the Lord Jesus wants us to be. Pope Francis also speaks of the church with an image used by the fathers of the church since the 3rd century. The church as what he calls Mysterium Lunae. For the priests and seminarians who know Latin, they understand what that means. But the Mysterium Lunae, what those words mean, is the mystery of the moon. A very interesting image, and one that I had not paid attention to until the last couple of weeks. And what this image means is that the true nature of the church is like the relationship between the moon and the sun. The moon has no light of its own. All it does when it shines in the night sky is to reflect the glory of the sun. St. Ambrose of Milan in the 3rd century said, "The church shines not with its own light, but with that of Christ." And St. Cyril of Alexandria said, "The church is enveloped with the divine light of Christ, which is the only light in the kingdom of souls. Therefore, there is a single light. In this one light shines also the church, which is not, however, Christ himself." My dear brother pastors, brother priests, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do our parishes, does our archdiocesan church proclaim Jesus Christ, or are we satisfied with simply reflecting our own light? Do our parishes, do our episcopal and priestly ministries live in ourselves, of ourselves, and for ourselves, or for Christ? Do we live in such a way that we bring the light of Christ as proclaimed in the prophet Isaiah today and by Jesus in today's gospel to his people, especially the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed? That's the kind of church that Jesus calls us to be. And if we're preoccupied with our problems, our difficulties, or proud of ourselves, there's a danger that we miss the mark, we ignore what's most important, and we settle in and become self-satisfied with buildings and projects and the way it's always been, rather than to be missionaries and evangelists of the good news of Jesus Christ. Another way of asking the question is our life, is our church all about us, or is it only about Him? Is it about us or about the people that Jesus calls us to serve? Today, Holy Thursday, is a day when the church not only celebrates our vocation as the church through our baptism and confirmation, but it's a day when we also celebrate the establishment of the ministerial priesthood in service to that same church. We celebrate with our bishops and our priests, and we remember that they have been called by Christ to be His presence in our midst in a sacramental way. And just as the church prepares itself for the renewal of its early baptismal commitment at Easter time during these days of Lent, the church invites the priests of the church to look back at the early fervor and generosity of their priesthood and to prepare themselves for a recommitment to their priestly ministry in our liturgy today. Through the wonders of modern technology, we already have available for us today the homily that Pope Francis gave at the Chrism Mass in Rome this morning. I get up early. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and I looked at the computer, and his homily was already there. It's masterful. My brother priest, I was tempted to simply copy it and read it to you this morning, because it really is that good, and I ask you to read it sometime today before you celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper, because it will call you, as it has called me, to a deeper reflection on the priesthood that we have been blessed to share. In that homily, Pope Francis warns about the priest who, what he says, anoints little. You know, we are reminded in today's scripture readings that we have been anointed by the Lord, and that anointing is an anointing that should lead us, the clergy and the laity alike, to anoint others, to bring others to Jesus Christ. But the Pope warns his brother priests, that's me and you, my dear brothers, he warns us about the priest who anoints little. These kinds of priests, he says, instead of becoming mediators of God's life, become intermediaries or managers or bureaucrats. He goes on to say, since this kind of priest does not put his own skin and his own heart on the line, he grows dissatisfied and becomes a sad priest and loses heart and in some sense becomes a collector of antiques or novelties. Instead of being a shepherd living with the smells of the sheep and a fisher of men. What do you think of that? When we hear this criticism, we need to look at ourselves and not our brother priests, and to see not whether the words apply, because they apply to each one of us, but how they apply. Have we become dissatisfied? Are we cranky priests? Unhappy with our celibacy? Unhappy with our assignment? Unhappy with the work that God has given us to do? Are we sad priests rather than joyful priests? Men who lose heart? And have we become collectors of antiques? Perhaps the old way of being the church. That's the worst kind of antique for us to collect. to live in the past rather than in the present that God has given us? Or are we consumed with novelties, looking for toys that in some ways medicate our sadness, our unhappiness, our dissatisfaction? The Lord has called us to so much more. And as I said, whereas during Lent, the church has been calling all of us to remember the fervor of our baptism and confirmation, Lent is a special time for you and I, my brother priests and bishops, to remember the fervor of our early priesthood as we renew our priestly commitments today. Earlier this week, I met with the three transitional deacons who are going to be ordained priests this spring. And the common characteristic of all three of these men who are with us today is a freshness and enthusiasm, a curiosity about what the Lord is going to give them, and a great love and joy and enthusiasm for His church. Would that that were true about you and about me, right? And not just today, but every day of our priestly lives. That can't happen, because through His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has made all things new. And as we approach the Easter season, we're reminded that the Easter is not about Easter eggs and flowers and springtime, but about that new life that flows from the heart of Jesus as the blood and water flowed from His side when He died for us on the cross. All of us here are united in the mystery of the sacraments through the blessing of the oils. We ask the Lord to unite our hearts and our lives, not only in this celebration, but in every day in the year that lies ahead. In today's gospel, Jesus told the people of His local synagogue, as I am addressing the people of our local church here today, He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. May it be so for us. So be it."